Canada's best music mix, 99.1. That's Lizzo and Truth Hurts, don't it? 9:48 with TJ. It is United for Justice, a day of discussion. The national portion is coming up here in about 11 minutes, and we'll start off with Nick Cannon today. I want to thank our sponsor today as well for United for Justice, Rounders in Mankato and downtown. Open for business indoors and outdoors, and they've stepped up and put their name on today's United for Justice program. And general manager down at Rounders, Tyson Dahl, joins me now. Good morning, Tyson.
Good morning.
Still morning, right? I feel like it's been a long day already.
I work at a bar. This is, I don't usually see this side of the day.
I know. It's early, but I'm really glad you're here, and I want to start off, first of all, by saying thank you to you and Rounders for stepping up, because I know that there were, you know, there's a lot of people that would be like, I don't know, this is a polarizing topic. I don't know if I want to put my stamp on this one, but you guys immediately were like, yeah, we're on board. Let's be a part of United for Justice. So it's important to you guys, and I realize that.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot of things going on, and talking with the owner of the business, it's something that he and I discussed, and we've had a few conversations at length about it. We want to be on the right side of history with this. We want to be forward thinking and forward moving, and be able to, like I said, be on the correct side of this when this all shakes out.
Well, I want you to be able to say what you want to say today, and I want to be able to hopefully ask some questions that maybe some people don't know the answers to, and maybe you can help us understand a little bit better. But before we get into that, let's get a little background on you. You are not white, I will say that, right? And you have lived here in Mankato area for a while now, but you've been a rural Minnesota guy, mostly?
Yeah.
So give us a background, childhood, where you ended up, and how you ended up here to Mankato.
So the background on me is I am a 6'4" Samoan brown-skinned person. I wouldn't say that I'm small by any means. Large in stature. Was adopted when I was 6 months old. Lived in Rochester for a great portion of my childhood. Moved to Mankato here at about the fifth or sixth grade level. And then I've been here when I was up in St. Cloud for a couple of years for school. Came back and have been down here now, ever since. Married, no kids, general manager of Rounders.
Kids in the future, maybe?
We'll see what happens.
Just wondered. You got your work cut out for you if you do, right? We're trying to make some progress and trying to teach our children just to be human, and not have these prejudices and realize maybe some of the privileges that some of us have had before. You had recently, after George Floyd was killed in front of a lot of people in broad daylight in Minneapolis, a pretty heartfelt, lengthy post on Facebook that I read, and it talked about some of the stuff that you've gone through as a child, as an adopted child, as a young man, and now as a grown man in regards to racism. And I was hoping maybe you could tell us, maybe the Cliff Notes version of that post. It was kind of big, but some of the things that you've experienced, because when I read it, I thought to myself, really, this is sad. I'm like, these people live and breathe and bleed just like the rest of us. We are all human beings. The only real significant difference is the color of our skin. And who cares about that? I mean, why do we have to care about that? So tell me a little bit about your experiences with racism. Again, I want listeners to know that this, we're not trying to slam anybody. We know that everybody has differing opinions. But there are some simple things we can do, and maybe we don't even know we're doing them, that are racist, because obviously our grandparents were saying things, and then that transitions to our parents, who maybe got a little bit better about stuff like that. And then we get to this point where we're trying to teach our children not to be like that and eliminate those particular sayings and things. So talk a little bit about some of the things you've experienced as a kid, and so that maybe people listening can take it into consideration when they're dealing with people.
So, the evening before I saw the George Floyd video, there was a different video, which has been dubbed the Central Park Karen video.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really, a people, when you think of racism today, I think a lot of people think, you know, a burning cross and, you know, that sort of racism. That's not the racism that I've dealt with. I dealt with the type of racism that you see in the Central Park Karen video. And basically, to summarize that video, it was of a black gentleman who was videotaping a woman, and she basically said, I'm going to call the police and say that I'm being assaulted by a black man.
So tell me again why he was videotaping her.
So he was videotaping her because she was in an area of Central Park where you have to have your dog on a leash.
Okay.
And so he told her to put her dog on a leash, and she didn't. You know, as it unfolds, he just continues taping, and she starts getting, you know, sort of aggressive towards her. She pulls her phone out and says, I am going to call the cops and say that I am getting assaulted by a black man. And so the reason that that resonated with me was because, you know, as a large individual with brown skin, I could see that happening to me. I could be that person where I could be the one that says, hey, your dog's supposed to be on a leash. Put your dog on a leash. You know, and for her to respond that way, you know, it proves that it's still out there.
Yeah.
It proves that the prejudice is out there, knowing that as a white female, she could use that as a threat against him, because that's one thing that people with brown and black skin have to worry about, is being, you know, misportrayed by other people, cops included. And, you know, growing up in Minnesota, it's been, I don't know if I, difficult's not the correct word, but it's been engaging. It's been
challenging.
Maybe, yeah. Yep. It's been, you know, I've been able to give myself the opportunity to teach others that, you know, everything's not just all unicorns and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone through some things, and, you know, touching on that Facebook post, I've had snowballs thrown at me on the bus. The kids had ridden on the bus for 15 minutes carrying snowballs, and as soon as I got on the bus, they hit me in the back of the head with them.
Waiting for you to get on the bus.
Waiting for me to get on the bus. You know, there's just little things that I can see myself where I, you know, I walk by in a situation, and maybe I'm, you know, hypersensitive to it, but you get a sideways glance from somebody, you know, that you don't think looks like somebody, you know, it's sweet looking grandma.
Right.
You know, but all of a sudden she crosses the road because I'm on the sidewalk, on one side of it. So
if you know Tyson, he would have given you a big smile and said hello, right?
Yeah.
But absolutely. She didn't know.
Yeah. And so for people to, you know, say that racism and prejudice is dead, it's not true.
There's probably a lot of other stories that you could tell, but I want to kind of take a turn now to how we can educate people and maybe even point out there's a lot of things nowadays, like people know you don't say the N-word. You don't say an R-word about certain things. You don't. You mentioned before we even went on the air, you said playing cards with your dad when you were young, and he would drop a card and he'd say, get your cotton picking hands out of there.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff doesn't even register right away for some people as a racist comment. And even when you said it, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I need to scrub that one from my brain. And that's obviously hard to do because it was put there most likely by my grandmother when I was young. And those are behaviors that we need to change. So change is what we're looking for. Going in that direction is difficult. It's uncomfortable. That's why we're doing this today. And I've had several people say, you know, well, it's not my job to teach a white person how to not be racist. And I 100% agree with that. However, sometimes you need guidance. You need to be pointed in the right direction. If I were to ask you today, what can I do as a middle-aged white man who wants to be better? What kind of steps can I take to eliminate some of those things that maybe I don't even know I'm doing?
You know, the biggest thing, you know, between the post and just having conversations before and after that post, The biggest thing that I can say is listen. There's hundreds of thousands of stories that are like mine, of different people that have gone through similar things. And mine is unique to me, and everybody else's is unique to themselves. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to listen to what they're saying and help, you know, if it's even just by listening. Sometimes you don't need to go through all the, you know, quote unquote motions of, being out in the front lines. But being able to stand up and, you know, if you see something wrong, you need to do something to be the person that changes the situation.
See something, say something.
See something, say something. With that George Floyd video, that was obviously a easily preventable death, and people were saying something, but at the end of the day, you know, you've got to take your own personal, you know, thoughts and actions and use them. You need to stop it.
I love that you said listen, because that's kind of the way I've been putting today's program that we're about to get into, you know, for people today. Like, I know it's polarizing, but just take some time to listen and then maybe open up some dialogue with your family or your friends or your coworkers today as you're listening, or when you get home this evening, and start talking about the changes you can make. Listening is where it begins. Standing up when you see something, say something, let people know you're on your side. And then, you know, if you feel comfortable enough with it, you can start to get involved. Here in the Mankato area, we have the YWCA, the Greater Mankato Diversity Council, the NAACP, things like that are out there. And they are looking for allies that want to make this change. So, I encourage people, and if we had the time, I would get into this, and I hope they do it during the program today as well, to get into things like what defunding police actually means, what white privilege actually means. You know, there are misleading, we talked about it right before we went on the air. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel that did a bit, but it was eye-opening, about women's suffrage. And he set up a card table, like out in Venice Beach or something, and he had people come by, and women were signing a petition to end women's suffrage. Well, that sounds great, right? Unless you know what women's suffrage really means, right? You are signing a petition to take away your own right to vote. And that's where the uneducated part of this comes in. And I think that's really just where a lot of people are at. They just need the info, have to absorb it a little bit.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And you can, like I said, there's millions of stories out there. Talk with your friends that are minorities. Hear what their stories are, because chances are, you know, especially in a community, you know, that we have, like down here in southern Minnesota, you probably don't look at them the same way that they get looked at by the general public. Educating yourself, reading books, you know, you see links on social media, do a little bit of homework before sure. You start just reposting that stuff blindly. But,
right.
You know, I mean, look at it, read it,
yeah.
find out what's going in those articles, you know, see what other people have said about this. It's about education and then using that education to move forward and create a better situation for the next generation.
Well, my friend, I think we could go on for a long time, but there's a national program queued up and ready to go here. So I do thank you for your time. I'm sorry for the things that have happened to you up until now, but obviously there's nothing I can do about that, but I can be a better person to help that, help from having that happen to you or anybody ever again. And that's what I plan to do. So thank you for coming in. Thank you to Rounders for stepping up. You know, is your post on Facebook public?
Can people go look at it? Yeah. So Tyson Dell, I'm very easy to find.
Yeah. If you want to read that, it is, it's emotional, and it really kind of puts into perspective. Sometimes to me, I don't want to use the word ignorant, but how unattached to the situation some people can
Absolutely.
Be. And if you read through it, you can get a better understanding of what some people might be going through, including people right here in southern Minnesota. So thanks, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Tyson Dahl with me today, general manager at Rounders in Mankato, and they are the sponsor for United for Justice, a day of discussion, which begins nationally now on Mix 99.1. This is United for Justice, a day of discussion on KEEZ-FM Mankato. Proudly sponsored by Rounders Sports Bar and Grill in downtown Mankato on Mix 99.1.